Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I flex out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made and the pecs, I'm serving him. Mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
This guy just came out of nowhere. So wait, why the fuck are you asking me about my own religion? Like, this guy took me all the way up there. Even credited me and my partner, my wife. Yeah, it's she Catholic. Oh, that's good, that's good. That makes sense.
And then and then
it's like it's a fucking red flag for me. Yeah, it's just like, what the fuck? It's like when you go shopping and someone comes and say, "Ah, guy, where did you buy this shirt from?" how much? 5K. Ah, you say, oh wow. Yeah, man, this shirt is not for me. So why the fuck are you asking where I bought it from? You ought to burn the store down or what?
Oh my goodness, that is funny.
Oh, man.
Wow. To be honest, I can't remember the last time I went to church, though. Like, I think the last time I ever went to church was for someone's baby dedication. I think that's about it. And that was last year. It's funny. I just realized I get invited to a lot of, like, baby stuff.
So did you go for, like, at this wedding, didn't they go to church?
Yeah, but I went for one after. The baby dedication was after this wedding. Wait. No. Actually, you're right.
Yeah, you went to church for this wedding now.
Yeah, I went to church for this wedding. But I'm saying, like, besides, like, people inviting you to, like, events and stuff like that.
There's an event that carries you there.
Yeah, like, I can't remember the last time I actually...
Did I go to church at this wedding? No, I don't think so. That was the one...
You didn't even go for this wedding. Oh, no, you did go for this wedding. That's true.
Yo, the epic... We're all together. ...picture.
Yeah. I forgot.
To be like, every time I see Ola, like, post a picture of his work computer and I see us there, like, he just brings a smile to my face. You guys noticed that on Ola's?
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. Anytime I even see Ola's that, I always...
What do you mean?
He has a desktop at home and he has a picture of us from the wedding. So he just cut it out and pasted. Yeah.
Yeah, you never noticed that. Like, he's just there, like, by the corner, bottom right corner of his, like... desktop, like, so every time he posts a picture of, like, his
story, so I never noticed. And Ola
Oh, you don't watch Ola's stories?
I don't watch stories. Like, I want the people I'm most likely to see stories for are people that don't post at all. Like, oh, okay, you are not, but active. I the general thing, I don't watch stories, it's too much work.
Oh, man. Wow. I feel like I watch more stories than actually scroll down the page.
Yeah, me too. I'm more of a story person. Than going down pages, but
I think it would be easier for me if I want stories to engage with people. But at the same time, there are a lot of people whose stories I don't want to watch, right? Like, I think that's the thing. So for me, it's just like, you know, people that will put you on green. I'm like, yeah, nah, green, okay.
I feel like that green is being used very loosely nowadays. Like,
yeah,
people are very loosey goosey. Like, I'm like, I don't know if this content is for me, man.
Yeah, like you put me on green and then you put me on green and then you show when you're going grocery shopping. Like, what are you hiding? Like, what don't you want others to see?
Yeah, so I don't watch, like, most honestly, I don't. It's only strategically. Or if I notice, this person, I haven't seen this person in a long time.
Yeah.
Let me see. But for most people, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be watching your story, to be honest. Yeah.
Did you guys see that Twitter, like, speaking of church, like, going back to the church theme, like, did you see, like, the link I sent on Twitter?
Start this thing now.
Yeah. We already started, didn't we?
No. Did we?
What are you talking about? It's recording.
Yeah, I think it's the introduction.
It's the introduction now.
Oh.
Right? Oh, did I Did I get
yeah, that? We're going to continue the theme, and then like when we're done, I would just make the introduction in the middle of the. I'd be like, oh, by the way, welcome. That was my plan. Welcome to what we're going to do. But now the cat, you guys can see behind the scenes now. Now that the cat is out of the bag. Welcome back to What We Figure Do podcast. I am Olu Jimmy, joined today by Mr. Francis.
Yo, yo.
And the man who loves to introduce himself.
El Maestro, first of his name, first of his kind, John Wick, album working, movie coming soon, Netflix. If you're in Nigeria, I'll be in theaters. If you need a pass to come for the premiere, let me know. I'll be giving that out to anybody who's around. And like I said, my first novel is coming out this year. I don't want to give too much away, but it's an erotica, just in case y'all are wondering. Ooh. Yeah.
What's an erotica?
Some might say it's like a semi-biographical.
Okay.
I don't know if I would go that far.
That wasn't what I was expecting, you know. I thought you were going more of the Kama Sutra route.
Based on a true story. No, yeah, still, you know, of course.
No, but you know what I mean? I mean like instructional, like, okay, this is how you achieve No. That's what I meant by that. I didn't know it was more of a, you know.
Yeah, no. It's a
first story. Person based shooter type type thing.
Definitely. First person shooter type vibes. You know.
Francis, are you going to read the book?
Jesus, you love me too much. Too much. Excess love.
That's the best known answer ever. But anyways, I've been trying to get this Twitter thing off the ground. Did you guys actually see the video from church, from the Twitter thing, of the pastor cutting his hair in front of his congregation?
But someone posted in the comment that, oh, you need to watch the full video. I don't get the context. Someone said you need to watch the full video to get the context.
Like, why are you... Me, personally, like, again, this is just a personal, like, I feel like the idea of pastor these days has turned into, like... How do I put it? Like a look at me, Louis. I think Lyra will get what my reference, but I say look at me, Louis. Like it's more about themselves than either the congregation or like the word is what I like been seeing out there. Like look at that guy in Nigeria, for instance, that just is rubbish. And his church is packed like every Sunday. You know the guy I'm talking about in Nigeria? That just
That one is a comedy.
Like,
I think I pronounced his name.
Is it the one that told God to hold the weather?
It sounds like him.
So good to hold the weather. And like, he was going to yank it so good that he could hold the weather. Is it the one that told people that the dollar is coming back down? Everybody that is crying will be smiling right now.
Like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, what are we doing? Like, it just sounds like a bunch of false prophets. Anyways, I just found that funny. Like, the guy was just in the middle of his preaching, just having his hair cut, like just flexing on his congregation.
Oh wait, I even thought it was on some Samson and Delilah type shit.
No, like he was getting a fade. Yeah, Baba was there and he was preaching. I'm like, what are we doing? But anyways, I guess people need someone to believe in, so I can't fault I can't fault them for
this show. So you know, whatever he was doing is working.
True, you know, the guy has followers. Don't worry. Whenever you guys are ready, man, I'm ready to open a church, by the way. So.
Oh man, these UV jerseys you posted on group chatters.
Yo, you guys saw that, right? One. All three of them. There's one from Benfica, and I think there's two Juve jerseys. So Larry, I beg, like, if you can ask your guy if he has those, like this summer, I just want to be wearing jerseys like this summer, man. That's it.
Okay, I'll see.
I don't know where my jersey. There's another Nigerian one that I saw. What's his name? Polo. You guys know Polo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw him wear, but like, I think that's how he got that one from Nigeria too. Like, there's been some like. Vintage jerseys are making a comeback, but Summer is here. The weather has been nice. Anyways, I want to talk about Dune before we get to Dune 2. So Francis said you rewatched Dune, have you?
I watched it yesterday, man.
Did you stay up or did you fall asleep?
No. So we wanted to go watch Dune 2 last week. So we decided to...
last week, or you mean this weekend?
Last weekend, because that was when I first heard about it.
Oh.
Then we decided to watch Dune 1. But I can't remember what was going on around me that I was not just comfortable. I ended up not watching it. Like, it was not... I wasn't paying attention. Oh, I think that was when we had the snowstorm. So I was thinking of how to clear snow, all that jazz, right? So I didn't really focus. And then... yesterday, I ended up sitting down and watching it again. After watching it, first of all, I remember, watching it the first time. Like, it brought back the memories. But then the movie itself, the movie is amazing, man.
Have you seen two?
No,
we've not seen two. Yeah. We planned to see it yesterday, but we...
Jimmy, have you seen two?
No. Like, I wanted to rewatch one first. We actually planned to go this weekend, but, like, plans broke.
I envy you guys. I've seen it twice.
Oh, I'm probably going to see more than once. But then we're like, okay.
And I'm not the kind of person that goes to see movies twice. The first time I saw it at, I just went to like a cinema. I was like, let me just, go and watch it. Then I went to go and watch it IMAX this weekend. It's such an incredible movie. I don't want to like give you too much.
No spoilers, please. Yeah.
Oh, no spoilers. Just like set the expectations up. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it, man. Really, like, really, really enjoyed it. When you guys go and watch it, we'll talk about it. But yeah, did not disappoint at all. Yeah, it's like 2 hours and 48 minutes.
It's around the same runtime as the first one, I guess.
You're not going to notice the time.
I'm beginning to appreciate that Timothy guy a lot. I like him as an actor.
Yeah, even I saw his movie was in King. I know there was another movie.
It was King. I was talking to Jibo. I mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
I recommended that movie after I watched it. That movie was amazing.
Yeah, but there's another one that he has. I forget the name. That was also like very critically acclaimed as well. I think
Willy Wonka.
No, it's not Willy Wonka. No, he's been in it. I think one thing about him is I feel like he's picked his projects like properly, right? It's not like he didn't go like the superhero route. Like, what's the man then from that is dating Zendaya? What's his name again? Tom Holland. But one thing I would say, like, when it comes to Dune, like, when I watched it again last night, like, I think, like, it's just, like, a spectacle in terms of visual. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, you're just captivated by what you are seeing on the screen. Like, the storyline to me, like, it's not, I won't say it's not the best, but, like, it's not something that we haven't seen before. Like, you can say Neo, The Matrix, you can say, like, Star Wars, or you can say, like, even Moses in the Bible. Like, this savior character, like, who's coming to save the people, the chosen people, which are the people of the sand. But, like, from the visual spectacle, like, it's one of the best things I've ever seen. And that actually, like, led me down a rabbit hole of actually going to look at some of the movies from the director and say, like, I'm sure, like, I must have seen, like, have you guys seen Sicario?
Yeah.
See, it's the same director. So, because I'm like, oh, that reminds me. I'm like, I loved Sicario too. Sicario is one of my favorite movies when I watched it too. I'm like, okay. And then he did Arrival.
Arrival.
So that's the same director for Arrival. And Roadrunner 2049.
Blade Runner.
And I remember watching Blade Runner. I was like, okay, that's another visual spectacle. So he's done like, because I always talk about this guy, what's his name? The guy that did Tenet, Christopher Nolan, as one of the directors that no matter what he does, I'm going to go watch. And this guy is getting up there for me too, as there's the Martin Scorsese's of the world. And you have Christopher Nolan, and then you have this guy too. Like, any movie that they do, I feel like right now I'm just going to go, I don't even want to like read the reviews. I'm just going to go blindly watch them because they've set the expectation for me every time. They met the expectations for me every time. But like from a visual perspective, oof. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's the same for me with this guy. What's the name of the guy that does these action movies? The director.
I know Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie, yeah.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie's around.
Anytime I see movies, I'm just.
He has a new show, The Gentleman. I haven't seen it yet.
It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for it to. They're doing like the weekly episode kind of thing. I'm like, yo, I need. So I'm waiting for it to like get to like 7 episodes so I can binge it. Yeah, like I don't know if I'm really into like the weekly waiting for a new episode.
Those days alone.
Those days are long gone, but anyways,
one last thing again, we'll talk about it when you guys watch it, but I agree with you. I think it's twofold. It's one, visually, it holds up really well, but the storyline, especially like part two, because part one does a very good job of like setting the stage.
Yeah.
Right. So that you know, okay, what are the characters? What world is this? What is at play? What is at stake? You know, and so it really sets the stage well for then going into part two. So especially if you watch it again, you'll definitely be like, you see the benefits once you start watching part two.
Yeah, I think I would say like I think I appreciate the movie more on the second watch than on the first watch, right? Because then you can pay attention to the little things that you missed the first time around. So that I would definitely agree with that part.
I've seen doing the first one at least 10 times. So for me,
was it you that said that you could finish their words?
Yeah, like I was watching it with someone, and I realized like I knew what was going to be said before it was being said. You know, so yeah, I can, for some of the scenes anyway, I know like, okay, this is what's coming, this is what's going to be said, right? So, but yeah, no, watch it. We'll talk about it, see how you guys talk about it.
We plan on going to like the VIP cinema like next week on Saturday to go watch it. So we'll definitely talk about it. Our next game, is it on Saturday or Sunday? I can't remember. But anyways, whenever we do the pod on Sunday.
Okay, trash team.
When you watch something else and then come back and realize, dog, like compare that to the way Mayu plays, it's like,
I was actually
like
gonna guess
two different. It's the same thing that guy said in that podcast that Larry shared yesterday. It's like you're watching two different sports.
Yeah.
Like look at the quality of football in the Liverpool. I'm not even talking about City now, because I thought Liverpool were the better team from a control perspective, or even maybe opportunities too. But the way Liverpool played, and they had most of their significant players not even available. Right? In defense, they didn't have Trent or Alex. What's the other guy's name? Robertson. They didn't have Konate. In midfield, they didn't have Salah or Jota. And they still played very, very well.
Not even that. Like when you think about like the actual players that actually start for Liverpool, like you're like Elliot. Who the fuck is Elliot? Where did he come from? You get what I'm trying to say? Like if you compare like the quality of actual players compared to like, I would say maybe, you know, what we have in like them Bruno and them in United, like, and the fact that when you watch Liverpool play, you're like, wow, like this coach actually knows what he's doing, and there's no excuse for who's out or who's not playing. Like we said, we just watched the game, and I enjoyed every single minute of that game, because like you're just watching something, and like it's like, to me, it's like a visual spectacle, right? It's like something different. It's like levels above what you're used to seeing from United. And yeah, like this, I can't. Anytime Ten Hag gives excuses, I'm like, no, I'm not here for any of that, because when you actually watch Liverpool and you watch the players, like look at Hendo now that runs that plays, I think he plays 6 or 8 for them. Does he play 6 or 8? Yeah, like where did that guy come from? Yeah, where did that guy come from? But look at the way he was bossing that midfield today. And you're like,
if it's Casemiro, like the play will be like 100 meters away from him. Once he jumps
Casemiro,
into
his, like, if he's Scott McTominay, or like, just think about the caliber of players.
You can't even call
like,
Scott now.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but I enjoyed that game, man. I thought like Liverpool like played better than City, but I think City started off a little bit better than Liverpool, so that's where the possession thing came into play. Because if you look at the overall possession, it was just like 3 percentage points difference. But I think from an overall game points, like I think that was Liverpool's game to to win. Like they had, I feel like they had more telling chances. Larry, did you watch the game?
I did. I agree with everything that you guys said. You know, I thought,
and again, I couldn't help but think about United as I was watching. Yeah. Them. Just how many people are out and you still have, forget even the style of play, just cohesion as a team. Like, you can't tell me that all those players are, again, squad for squad. I don't even know that there are many players in the Liverpool team that will get into the United team. Just based on the, like, if you said I take this player out,
caliber player, yeah. By name, if you're going by name, yeah, name brand.
Like who, you know? Okay, Virgil van Dijk, Robertson,
Trent.
The midfield, I'm not convinced. You know, Salah didn't start. You know, but again, it's just there's a cohesion about the team. You know, they play like a team that is well groomed and organized and know what they are supposed to be doing. That is the difference, the major difference that I see. Is like they play like a team that has been well groomed, and it's not even just about the style of play. It's just, I know, sending passes, like simple passes. Anyway, yeah, it's just, you realize how hard it is for us to make a 5-yard pass.
Not even that, or to string 2 or 3 passes together when we're being pressured.
That was one of the things that like pissed me off the most about the Man City game, is that everybody kept talking about that game like we played well, like it was a victory for us somehow that they did. And I'm like, these guys can't play out. Oh, everybody's like, oh, they just wanted to sit back and let City have the ball so that they can be well organized and compact. I'm like, no, that's not what I saw. Yes, they wanted City to have the ball and be compact, but we couldn't play more than 2 passes out of our area to build anything going forward. And then you see the Liverpool team today. It's like, even Francis, the thing I sent you with the reporter where he was talking about Lewis Dunk and Brighton, where Lewis Dunk is saying that there's no position in the back that I can get the ball from and I won't be comfortable.
And that's Lewis Dunk.
Hundreds of hours. That's Lewis Dunk, right? And this is the other thing that I was telling people, is like, some of those teams, it's not that they were buying players, right? Like, you look at a lot of the players that, like, when De Zerbi took over, it's players that were already there, that were with a different style, or like, okay, maybe you can say somewhat similar, but it's not like they were groomed in a style, but they spent hundreds of hours fine-tuning that thing. With us, when we are playing out from the back, it's like a surprise every time. We have Onana, but have we done anything with Onana? Like, I just think, what are we training? What are we training? You know, like, what's the training about? Like, I don't see anything there that, like, lets me know that, okay, there is a repeatable process here. When we play out of the back, it's not consistent. Somebody gets the ball, looks forward, doesn't find anybody, turns around, gives it back to Onana. Onana has to blast it forward. This is what we are doing every time. Like, so what are you training? What are you doing? And then again, okay, we need Martinez. Is Martinez the only one? Is he the only one? And like you said, we're playing a style where we're pressing high, but we're playing low block at the back. How? Your midfield is going to be wide open. So these are things that, like, anybody can look at and see and say, what is the plan here? What are you doing? And you keep telling us there's progress. Based on what? You know, based on what? So for me, it's just the same issues. Like, we can talk about this Everton game again. Everton had over 20 shots again. That's more than 5 teams that have had 20 shots in the last 10 games. Jibo, you put that stat up that said, Sheffield United is about to break the record for the most shots conceded in the Premier League season. We are second. We, United, are second. With a goal difference of 0.
Is it +4 or +5? I can't remember myself.
Plus? This team plus?
I think we're on plus, though. I think we're on plus.
Are we on plus? I thought we were on 0.
I'll check. I'll continue, but I'll check while we're talking.
So, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, 1-0. Wow. Wow, zero.
Are generous.
Yeah, 1-0.
Golly.
With how many games left in the season? And you're telling me that somehow this is progress. Am I an idiot?
Yeah,
what did you guys think?
About
of the game?
Yeah, Francis, what did you think of the game?
It was such a dull game, though. Like, and I think the thing that makes that pisses me off the most now is the post-match press conferences after we've all seen what we saw. It's like, guys, are we idiots? Are we watching something else? Because you come out and you're speaking so positive, even talking about United had more XG. Like, when did Ten Hag start using those terminologies, XG? It makes no sense to me. The game was a nonsense game. Like, Everton had so many chances. Onana made like what, 20 saves. I don't even recall a lot of chances that we had. I mean, we did some with the Garnacho and maybe Rashford here and there, but these were like half chances, nothing serious. The goals we scored were penalty. It wasn't like he was going anywhere. You know what I mean? So the game was nothing to write home about. It was one of what we've seen all through the season. You lose your key players, and then the next thing is you're making up excuses saying you can't really just play Everton at Old Trafford. How can Everton have more ball possession than you? Even Fulham had more ball possession than you in your own home. I mean, I understand some Premiership teams are stronger now. But yeah, when they are away, fine, you can impose some of your strengths there with your crowd, the crowd behind you. Not when you're coming to Old Trafford playing. We play like we don't know each other. You know, it's like all these pickup games when you come in on a Friday evening. Yeah, guys, you know, I won't play football. People say yes, okay, link up. You start picking. And then someone will tell you he's a defender, but you end up seeing him in right wing. And you're like, guy, no, he's right back with the play. You say, guy, I know they defend. For Niger, I know they defend. Say, for Niger, I know they defend. I can't defend. That's how United play. Bruno has been one of the worst players this season. Like, one of the worst. I understand his role is not to control the game, but bro, at least you can hold the ball longer than 5 seconds.
Bruno can't hold the ball, though. Bruno can't hold the ball. I think we've known this about Bruno. That's why it's like hot potato for him. Like, so I guess that's why he was trying to do transition, because, like, you know, I don't even know if he's, like, the fact that because our players can't hold the ball, or it's because the coaching is just that terrible. Like, I don't even know which is which. I don't know where one starts and where the other one begins. Because, like, we're talking about, like, we want to press. But you see the way Liverpool pressed City today. City, like, they couldn't. City, who are, like, you know them for, like, ball playing. But the way Liverpool pressed them today, like, you saw them making mistakes. The goal Liverpool scored was from pressing, what's his name? Ake.
Mm.
Right? Yeah, so like even when we're trying to press, we can't even do that properly. Like, or you see the energy that Elliot is still showing and running for the ball at the 80th minute. Leave his Rashford now will be forming, you know. I don't even know what you're forming. I don't know, yeah. This
but
team.
You know, like, again, even some of these players that we call, I feel sorry for them. It's like the only manager that Elliot has known at Liverpool is Klopp. The only manager Trent has known at Liverpool is Klopp. The only manager most of these players have known is Klopp. Same for City. And I'm not saying that, again, like, you can look at Spurs and say, like, okay, Spurs are playing well with the manager that is new. But if you're Rashford and you're 26 and you've had 6 or 7 managers already, it's like every year they are chopping and changing. Like, it's eventually going to take a toll on you now. You know, I'm not making excuses for Rashford. I'm just saying we're about to change this joker now to another manager. Now we have a different structure. To me, along with the manager, that structure then has to kick in, because it has to prioritize the team over any individual player. We can't keep doing this thing where we are desperate to, you know, to keep players or desperate to prioritize players. Like, who is Bruno? Like, I don't, they keep showing me stats that Bruno has been creating the most chances of anybody, something this season, most chances from open play. When I watch Bruno, I don't know what I'm watching anymore. Bruno used to score goals, though. You know, Bruno used to score
his goals. First season, I know, eh?
More than first season. His first, he joined in January, he scored then.
Even in Sporting Lisbon, he used to play pop.
Now,
I think that's what saved, that's what bought Bruno some time. Great. It covered up a lot of cracks. Because everyone is like, everyone knew that Bruno is not the guy to control a game. But in terms of what he provides up front, people were willing to let go of his what's the word again? His weaknesses. But now it's like your weakness, they are elaborated right now. Your supposed strength, we can't see anything. Like, man, I'm tired, dude. I'm tired.
Yeah, this was a nothing performance. It was a nothing game. We scored two penalties. We gave up more possession. We couldn't string passes. We're poor. Casemiro was poor again. You know, it's just where do you start? Like, I think again, I said this last time, Johnny Evans has been good, which I don't even understand how that can be a thing. Somebody that is 36, 37, that wasn't even supposed to be playing for us this season, our sixth choice defender. You know, he's looking like a guy that we can count on. I think Onana has improved. You know, people don't want to call his name, but I think Onana has really, really improved. You know?
Which people? Name names.
I don't want to name names.
Agba. Larry cannot wait for Onana. I feel like Larry was in the boardroom when Onana was signing this contract.
All I said is Onana has been very good. People don't want to mention his name. It's not just here. Like, he was getting criticized in a lot of places. You know, it's gone quiet is what I'm saying in general, right? I wasn't, you know, trying to throw shade at certain niggas that were making jokes about double cheeseburgers and McDonald's and all that.
If you know, you know.
To be
fair to Onana, it's probably not like helpful that you're considering, like, your defense is considering 20 shots on your regular basis.
Can you imagine 20 shots routinely? And again, man, even with what's his name, I stay away from the games now. I really do. Like, before, I used to check what day are we playing. I don't do that anymore, to be honest. Like, if I watch the game at all, if I look at anything, it's after the fact. And because I know that it's going to be a hard watch, especially live. You know, against Man City, I came home. My uncle was here, my popsy. My popsy doesn't really care like that, but my uncle was talking about the fact that he was avoiding the game. He didn't watch the game. So when I came home, he was like, I took the remote and I started changing it. He's like, oh, I don't want to watch this.
Is he a Man U fan?
Is he a United fan? And he was talking about, don't they know the impact that they have, that they raise his BP? Can you imagine? Nah, not this thing. Then somebody will be coming and be talking to me about XG. When I heard he said XG, again, just desperado. He's desperate.
He's trying to save his job, man. Like, the same way he's throwing, like, the training staff on the bus, talking about, they told me, like, this so-and-so was going to be ready in January.
Yeah, XG. Expected XG is what you're telling fans. Hey, you're long. Like, we're not watching the games. I couldn't believe it. Like, I just thought, wow, this is the new low for you. You know what's so funny is when Sancho left, everybody kept saying that Sancho knows that he will outlast this guy. But I could not have believed it then if you told me that this nigga would think this quickly, think this low this quickly.
They've seen this movie before.
And you know what? To be honest with you, I don't know if a lot of people feel this way. I think because as United fans, we've become so used to watching our team not have a style, watching our team not score enough goals, not under just this guy, but under other guys. The thing that I was really happy about with him was that I thought, okay, we will be able to play a style. To be honest, even when we talk about style, it's not that it needs to be possession. Just something that I can know that I can expect, right? Like, I can see week on week, when I come, this is what I'm going to see, right? Like, you look at, again, you can call six different teams in the Premier League, seven, that you know what you are going to get. Even the teams that are not balling like that, they still have, like, West Ham, you know, they're going to play counter and they're going to try to hit you on the press. They play with people like Antonio, with the Ghanaian guy, I've forgotten his name now, and Bowen. And a lot of their goals...
Bowen and Kudus.
But you know, week on week...
Bowen is not even a striker, Seth. Like, and look how they're still managing to, like, win games. Even I don't think they won today, but still.
But how can we be at this point? We're on zero. Last season, too, we were zero. I think we finished.
We were minus for the longest time, to be honest with you. Like, I think it was the last couple of games. It was the last couple of games that we won and didn't concede that, like, actually, like, beefed up the stats for us.
And then you want to come and start talking about XG. XG. Bro, it's been 24 games. Where is your XG? Hey, God. I don't know. It's like, is it this hard? Like, and you said, you watch other teams and it's like, is it that hard to create chances? You know the thing that, like, I look at in games now that just I marvel at, and I know that, like, this is how I know that United has fallen very far. It's like, somebody said something today about crosses. There are certain types of passes that I look at and I think,
I know what you're talking about. That's the Sar pass in Tottenham game this morning.
I didn't even see.
No, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday.
No, it was today.
It was today. Oh, yeah.
This Man City game, there were a couple of passes, and there was a game yesterday I watched where I was like, there are a couple of passes where there's a pass that Salah gave.
Oh, Diaz. Yes, that
one. Diaz. The one that he controlled it and then Walker came from behind him. That pass that meets Diaz at the back post, I thought to myself, who on our team can give that pass? Bro, I don't remember the last time I saw that pass in a United game. Man. I don't know. It's been years. You know the pass I'm talking about? The one that will beat everybody.
Yeah, and meet you at the back. Post. Yeah, I know what you're talking
that
about.
That Kevin De Bruyne type pass.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, who can give that pass? On? Like, when did I see that pass last in a United game? We cross with hope. Only hope. Only hope. You know, that should be the name of the style of our play. Only hope. Everything is only hope. Look at Bruno. Only hope. Idea. Put your thumbs up. Ah, I see you.
It's the same thing with Casemiro now. Once they give him the ball, it feels like he's bending his body, running to it, and then he flings a pass. Like, did you see anybody running? When they misplace a pass, the first thing they say is, ah, but you are supposed to be there. When am I supposed to be there? Or where did we ever train that?
And that's the thing. It's like, what are we training? What are we doing in training? The little things you see from training are shocking. Remember when they showed the where they were doing the training when they were passing the ball?
And oh, please don't. Oh, no.
Hey, oh, no. See, oh, God. I don't know. I just, Open heart surgery, no lie. Open heart surgery.
We're mocking the guy when he said so, but yo, I guess he was, they hired him as a consultant, so like he actually did, he gave like the best diagnosis of United, open heart surgery.
Yeah.
We were too stubborn to listen to him then, but now we're seeing it.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's crazy. The thing is, do I think these players are capable of, I don't want to believe that these players are not capable of playing a style of football, even though we've had multiple managers that have not been able to enact it successfully, right? But, and the thing is, when these managers go, they do it. Like, you see what Ipswich, I don't know what position they are now, but for most of the season in Championship, they were doing well. It was our guy, Kieran McKenna, that was there, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's United. We'll see how it goes. Do you get... I think we've probably asked it before, but do you guys actually think, I know we all want him to go, but do you guys actually think like Ineos is going to like fire Ten Hag at the end of the season?
Ten Hag thinks Ineos is going to fire him. That's what he's talking about.
Francis, do you think they're actually going to pull the trigger?
Yeah. I think Ten Hag is gone at the end of the season. And you can tell Ten Hag is, even in some of his comments, is sounding a little bit passive aggressive now. It's like the one where they asked him about Malasia and he went full on the medical team. He's like, oh, they told me that we're going to have Malasia ready and Luke Shaw ready. That's why we let Reguilon go. But hey, now they're injured. You know, it's like the other one, they told him about strikers or something. I can't remember what they asked him. And it's like, yeah, this was the plan, but we didn't have it. And then we went this way. So he talked about FFP, blah, 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 blah. And so now I think he's just... And then there's this guy, I think he's called Mulock. He's a journalist. Apparently, he's a whisperer for Ten Hag. And they've been seeing snippets here and there that, Ten Hag's team are even that if United don't meet his needs or whatever he signed for, that Ten Hag is ready to walk away from the job this year. Ah, please don't go, don't go.
Yeah.
I think he's gone. I think he's gone. Because ultimately, and I think
he wants to retain his power too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Ultimately, with these new guys coming, I'm sure the direction of power would change. And I don't know if it aligns with what he initially signed in his contract. So if, you know, the veto power doesn't really lie with him anymore and whatnot, and he doesn't have as much control that he had previously in terms of signings, recommendations and whatnot, then... he might not want to stay in the job. And to be honest with you, I think that's best for the club. They would want their own guy.
Ajax is looking for a manager. I should go back home. I think it's time.
You should take a lemon with him when he's going back, I beg.
Ah.
I've never liked that guy from day one. I was saying it. Day one, I'm like, this guy is not meant for the Premier League.
No, this guy can't. I mean, again, I know that not everything went well for him. And I think there would be way more sympathy with him if we could just tell that this is what he wanted to do. You know, but there's just no idea. There's no, like, we don't have a striker. We don't have, like, a left back. Those are not his faults directly. Right, the club itself has not been able to provide enough resources for him to sign some of the players that he wanted. But with the players that he has, and with the players that he signed, we have not seen. He signed Onana. I thought that we would see way more of the style of play that suits Onana. He hasn't even played to Onana's strengths at all. And he's made Onana look stupid. Don't get me wrong, Onana has also not done himself any favors with some of the saves or not being a great showstopper, like shortstopper. But at the same time, you got him for a reason. Where is the reason? You can't play out of the back at all. And it can't just be because these guys are not capable. They've been with you for 2 years. Varane, Harry Maguire, like you did it for the first three games last season and then you just said, fuck it, I'm done. Louis Dunk is the answer. Louis Dunk in Brighton can do it, but our own defenders cannot do it. I find it very hard to believe. For me, it's just, as a coach, I still need to see something. Like, it can't just be that everywhere you are under attack and you don't have, everything is someone else's fault. Where's your own accountability in all of this?
Zero. But again, we're under new management, so we'll see how that goes. Our next game is on Sunday. Is a cup game against Liverpool. So
is that Old Trafford?
Does it even matter? I don't think it matters. No, but
yeah, it's a Old Trafford.
Yeah, we're home.
That's a shame. Really,
Musiala is back. It looks like Musiala is back. Who else did they play today? I'm just saying, like, Robertson is back as well. So I don't know. Even if they weren't back, I had zero expectations of of us winning that game. So
Liverpool seems to be the team that gets managers fired. So I don't think there's any chance he gets fired after that game. But I'm just saying, like, in general.
Yeah. Do you foresee like one of those blowout wins? Because I feel like it's always with Liverpool that when things go wrong, it goes wrong quick.
I think, you know what, in fairness, I feel like Anfield would have been a better game for ETH because he could have justified playing that Man City system that he played not so long ago. At Old Trafford, it's a lot harder because...
To just sit back, right?
You can't just sit back. And Liverpool is not like a team that is terribly... They're not like crazy about possession, you know, as much as Man City is. Like, they will still try to dominate possession, but there are other ways for them to win. So it'll be interesting. I think he's going to play a version of this compact, you know, defend and not let them do too much, and we'll go out with a whimper. But, you know, I think that's what he's hoping for. I cannot see a situation where this guy tries to play any kind of, you know, like back and forth or open, expansive. Yeah, it's really hard to see any kind of results from that game. What did he say in the last time? He said we are 4 games away from a cup. And that's one less thing that you'll be able to say after we play Liverpool.
Francis, do you give us any chance of winning the game against Liverpool?
No. So what happens if it goes into extra time, then it's penalties, right? Or do we go to Anfield?
Yeah, penalties. Yeah. There's no second leg, yeah. Or replay, sorry. So the game has to end on Sunday, basically.
Yeah, I think this is where they'll tear us apart. I think so. I think they just have more firepower than us at the moment, and then they have some good players coming back, and maybe even coming off the City game, the results there, they might be even a little bit more fired up. So I don't have a good feeling about it. I mean, I guess it's a good feeling in one way if we lose and then they end up firing this guy, but I don't know if this is the one that would win.
Yeah, like I said, I my prediction is going to be like the same result as the City game. I'll go 3-1 to United to Liverpool. But yeah, I don't see any circumstances in which ETH all of a sudden like has this tactical advantage over Klopp. Even if we're home, I don't see that happening. So it's sad, but it's just the reality of United right now. Francis, what do you think your scoreline would be?
Three-one to Liverpool.
El Maestro.
I'm going to go 2-1 United.
I love how you're a zag. Well, this brings us to the end of this episode.
Your prediction on this guy?
I said 3-1. I said same as City.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. same as City. Yeah. Thank you all for listening and gracing us with your presence. Please give us a follow on socials at What Will Fergie Do on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Also, rate and review us. You can now do that on Spotify. 5 stars only. Anything less than 5 stars.
Keep it to yourself.
You all know the vibe.